We are on Perek Tezayin Pasik Chav Zayin. Basically, we're learning about the mon. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, you're not allowed to leave over any mon until the morning. When they did, it became spoiled and it smelled and it became wormy. And when it came Friday, all of a sudden they ended up getting double portion. So they got double portion, so they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, what is this? So up to now, Moshe Rabbeinu obviously did not tell them that Hashem said, Friday you're going to get a double portion of mon, because that won't spoil. That's what you're going to get for Shabbos, because the mon will not fall on Shabbos. So the last thing we're learning is that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu three times the word Hayayim, eat it today, because today is Shabbos, today you won't find it in the field, which is the source of the three meals on Shabbos. And it says, 6 days you should gather the mon, the seventh day you're not going to gather the mon. Which, by the way, the Mefarshim bring down is one of the answers. There was a group of non-believers, obviously, that say that in that part of the world, this something similar to the mon would fall. So they said, so the mon wasn't a miracle, it was a natural happening. But even according to that, the fact that on Shabbos, Friday it fell twice, and Shabbos it didn't fall, that itself is a miracle within itself. Okay, so now it says in Pasuk of Zayin, Vayhi bayom hashvi, it was on the seventh day, obviously meaning Shabbos, Yatzo min ha'am lilkeit, some of the nation went out to gather the mon, v'lei matzah, and they didn't find any mon. You know, they still doubted. Even after the fact that they got double mon on Friday, they still doubted the fact that it's not going to fall on Shabbos. So they went out, mamish, into the field to gather, and they went. So before that, the bigger problem was, before that they went to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, should we go out into the field today to collect the mon? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, there's not going to be any mon. It's going to... So yet, if Moshe Rabbeinu told them already to do it, why are they going out? So they thought that maybe we can go out and take them on anyway, even if you told us not to. And whatever, they basically didn't behave. Okay, so that's why it says the next part, Gayem Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Ad Moshe Meyantem Lishmer Mitzvese V'Sereise. For how much more are you going to refuse, okay, to listen to my mitzvahs? And the Medrash says, and Rashi says this also, Rashi doesn't say it here, Rashi says it in a different place, that Hashem said to Moshe, you are also a rebeller against me. Because you were supposed to tell the Jews the dinim of Shabbos before they came over to you on Friday and mentioned that they had a double mon. You didn't come and you didn't tell them the din of Shabbos before they asked you. Because he got angry. But I'm saying he was to blame, though. The Pasuk says over here that Hashem says, you are also rebelling from the fact that you didn't do it like I asked you. Okay, now, another thing it says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not included. Some of Farshim say Moshe Rabbeinu was not included in this screaming from Hashem, in this Musa from Hashem. He's just speaking to the rest of the Jews. Now, the Medrash over here says, it's the Medrash, I believe, I'll tell you in a second, the Medrash says the following. And it's a very interesting lesson. Hashem said, Hashem doesn't embarrass a sinner. Hashem doesn't say, you sinned. Hashem says, why are you refusing to listen to me? He doesn't say, why did you do this and this sin? And they bring down a story, a few stories, each one the source of the next one. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, garlic has a very bad odor. In the olden times, you used to eat a lot of garlic. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was teaching a class, and somebody smelled from garlic. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, whoever ate garlic should please get up and leave. Because it was a terrible smell. So Rabbi Chiya got up. Rabbi Chiya was one of Rebbe's students. He got up and he left the room. And then, slowly but slowly, everybody left the room. The next day, Rabbi Shimon, who happened to be Rebbe's son, said to him, you were the one that pained my father by eating garlic? He says, I didn't eat garlic. He says, why did you get up? He said, I didn't want to embarrass the person that did. So I didn't want to embarrass the person that did, so therefore I was the one that got up. And he says, the Mamlai says, where, so the Gemara asks, where did Rab Chiya get this from, this concept? So he said he learned it from Rab Meir. There's another story with Rab Meir. A woman once came into the Beis Medrash, into Rab Meir's Beis Medrash, and said to the men, one of you gave me Kedushin, and I don't remember who it is, and now I'm stuck. I can't marry anybody, because I don't know who it is. So Rab Meir got up and wrote her a get. He gave her a get. When everybody saw Rab Meir, even though Rab Meir wasn't the one that did it, even though when people saw that Rab Meir gave her a get, everybody got up and gave her a get. That she shouldn't be stuck, she should be able to remarry. So the Gemara says, where did Rab Meir get this from? From a story with Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan was the student of Rabban Gamliel. And he says, one time they had to make a leap year, you know, to decide one other, two others, they didn't know what to do. So Rabban Gamliel ordered that gather seven Chachamim, get seven Chachamim, because that's how much you need to do this, a Bezdin of seven. Gather seven rabbis and we'll make a Bezdin, we'll figure out if we have to do it. The Rabban Gamliel comes into the room and sees there's eight. There's eight people there. So Rabban Gamliel said, the one who wasn't invited, please leave. So Shmuel HaKotan got up and left. So he said, why did you come uninvited? He said, I didn't come to be one of the seven. I came just to learn, how to watch, you know, as an observer, how to do it. Shmuel HaKotan was invited. But nevertheless, not to embarrass somebody else, he did it. There's also a famous story, there's a famous story that Rabbi Kiva Eger, he used to have a table, he's a great sage, he used to have a lot of poor people at his table. And he was like one of the leaders of the generation in Torah knowledge. And it was a Friday night or whatever, one of the poor people, by mistake, spilled out the wine on the tablecloth. So the guy felt very embarrassed, you know, in front of the presence of this holy rabbi. He's a shlumazel. So Rabbi Kiva Eger noticed the guy's embarrassment. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, like, kicked the table and his own cup of wine fell. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, what's wrong with this table? You know, everything's spilling here today. Why did he do it? Not to embarrass the one that it happened. It's not even about doing anything wrong. I mean, it's time not to embarrass somebody. So therefore, the Pasuk is saying that when Hashem said, Amasa Me'antam, why are you refusing to do what I want you to do? He didn't deliberately say who it was. What?
My question is, in the two cases, one where the guy licked, and one where whoever wasn't invited, how could it be that the head of the class would ask that question? He would know if somebody would be embarrassed.
You mean, why did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi ask the question? I can answer you different answers. One is because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi understood what the outcome would be and it would be a moral lesson for other people. That could be one proper perspective way of it. No, I'm serious. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was very smart. He understood that Rabbi Chiya is going to get up and therefore he would be able to teach a moral lesson to the students. Or a second answer is it's very simple. It was a terrible smell and he couldn't learn. It was affecting the teaching. So he asked the guy to leave. And here also the Mefarshim say, what did Meshach Rabbeinu, how many people went out to collect the money? It was probably Dasan Avir and a few more gangsters. So Meshach Rabbeinu didn't go to mention their names, why did you and you and you sin? He said, why collectively, why did you people sin? That's what Hashem said to Meshach Rabbeinu. So it says, and one opinion is that Meshach Rabbeinu, what's wrong with this table? No. The Meshach Rabbeinu was also included in this thing because he also didn't listen to Hashem to tell him the dinim. So then it says as follows. Ru'u Meshach Rabbeinu, Hashem is saying, Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem es ha-Shabbos, but you should see that Hashem gave you the Shabbos with your own eyes. Hashem is giving you the Shabbos. And Rashi explains, what does it mean, you see with your own eyes? The fact that the man didn't fall on Shabbos itself is a testimony that the Jews were physically able to see that there's a Kedusha of Shabbos. Like the Gemara asks, where do you see Shabbos in the world? So the famous thing, there's this river Sambatyon, there's a river somewhere called Sambatyon that every day of the week would kick up stones, and on Shabbos it was quiet and peaceful. But here the man was a clear testimony that Hashem gave him Shabbos. So he says, Al-Kain, therefore, Huneisen lochem bayim ashishi lechem yamayim, he's giving you on Friday double bread. Shvu ish tachtov, each person should sit by himself. Al yeitzi ish min kayim bayim ashvi, you're not allowed to go out of your place on Shabbos. So therefore, it says over here two concepts. This is the mitzvah of two things. Not going out on Shabbos, outside the tchum, and also not carrying on Shabbos. Okay? And the Rebbe explains in the Sicha a very interesting concept. Shabbos the Jews had in Mara already. Okay? The Jews were never commanded up to now not to carry or not to go out. And it's interesting, the Rebbe learns that Shabbos was given in stages to the Jews in the Midbar. The first thing they were told about Shabbos is, Hashem said, by the man, don't bake. You have to cook double, you know, on Friday, because you can't cook or bake on Shabbos. Then later, at this pasuk, that's why the Rebbe learns, when Moshe Rabbeinu screamed at the Jews, why did you rebel against Hashem? He wasn't referring to the fact that they carried on Shabbos, or they walked too far in Shabbos, because they weren't commanded that yet. What Hashem was angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jews, was, I told you, Shabbos, there will be no man. Why did you go out to look for it? But not because they were carrying on Shabbos. That wasn't forbidden until this pasuk. So Hashem is telling them, Shvu ish tachtov, every man has to be in his place. No man should leave his place on the seventh day. Okay? Now, what does it mean? So Rashi learns that this refers to Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos means you're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 cubits outside city limits or where the last house is. Okay, up to there, the whole city has a din of 4 cubits. Then you can have Tchum Shabbos, which, by the way, in the city here doesn't come practice. If you go out to the mountains, you know, on Shabbos, there's a certain amount that you're allowed to walk. It's 3,000 feet.
2,000 cubits or 2,000
hours? Same thing. Amma is a cubit. Amma is about a foot and a half. So you're talking like 3,000 feet. If you're going in the country somewhere where there's no houses and everything, it's like a half a mile. A little bit more, you know, a little bit more than a half a mile. You can't walk more than there. Unless if you make what's called Eid of Tchumim, meaning you take a piece of bread and put it there, then you can walk 2,000 amas from there, in that direction. But Rashi also explains, Ish Mim Kaime is a person, an average height person, takes up 4 cubits. There's a din on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry 4 cubits in the street, Dalet Amos. You can't carry from public to private, private to public. You're also not allowed to carry Dalet Amos, B'shusad Abim. 4 cubits in the public domain. Unless you have an Eidav. But I'm saying, if there's no Eidav, you can't carry 4 cubits. So where do they get this amount of 4 cubits? So it's basically, Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. But they say, the Mefarshim give a logic to it. Rashi, in fact, says this here. An average person is 3 amas high. And if you stick out your hands, I mean, if you lay down flat, and you stick out your hands, your hand from here to here is approximately an amma too. So a person takes up 4 ammas. So therefore, when you have 4 ammas, it's like a private domain. When you carry from inside 4 to outside 4 ammas, it's like you're carrying outside of from private to a public domain. And that's why it says the word mimkar mirashi says means that a person takes up 4 cubits. Just 6 feet. And that's what we learn out from this pasuk. Now, the Mefarshim just explained over here, what does it mean in the previous pasuk, Lishmar mitzvei v'sei. You didn't listen to my mitzvahs, and you didn't listen to my teachings. So, and each one is plural. Mitzvei say is plural, and Torah say is plural. So in the English Chumash, he brings down over here from the Arachayim, that number one, they left the man until the next morning. They went to gather it on Shabbos. Those were the two mitzvahs Hashem said not to do. And the teachings were, they gathered more than an Eimer, and they tried to find man on Shabbos. Meaning, even though they had extra portion on Friday, they went to look for more man on Shabbos. So therefore, the Pasuk is saying they didn't listen to the mitzvahs that Hashem gave them a reference to the man, and they didn't listen to the teachings that Hashem taught them. Okay, so the Pasuk in Lamed says, V'yish b'su ha'am b'yem ha'shvi, the people rested on the seventh day. They rested on the seventh day because Hashem now commanded them that they have to rest completely on Shabbos. So now what does it say in the Pasuk? V'yikru beis Yisrael ashmei man. What do they call this man? And now, the Mefarshim explained, even though we had the whole story with the man before, but now the Torah is summing it up, like, what was this man exactly? So it says, well, the Jews called it man, v'kezer gadlavan, it was like a coriander seed, it was white, it tasted like cake fried in honey. Katzapichas bidvash. Rashi says it means dough fried in honey. So it was white, even though some of Farshim say that it looked gold. But here, simply the Pasuk says it was white, it looked like a coriander seed, it was hard, and it tasted like katzapichas bidvash, like like a cake fried in honey. Right, that means by itself. Huh? By itself. That means if you had no particular menu choice. You just wanted to eat it for what it tasted like. That's what it tasted like. You wanted it to taste like sushi. It tasted like sushi, rib, chicken, fish, and whatever you wanted. Sushi man. Sushi man.
Not in this restaurant.
But no, anything they wanted. Why not? Vayomer Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Zeh ha'davar asher tziva Hashem, this is what Hashem commanded. And even though we don't find Hashem told it to Moshe, clearly, but the fact that Moshe is saying it means Hashem told it to him, Malay ha'omer mimenu, take a whole measurement of this omer, the mishmeres of the reisechem, for a safekeeping for all your generations. And the Arachayim explains that one in the days of Yirmiyah, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, take man and put it in a container. And this man didn't rot.
What is man?
The manna. It tastes like dough and honey. It was a seed. That's what they ate for 40... Huh? The bread from heaven. The manna. Not manana. Manna.
I heard you say manna.
Okay.
Manna all the time.
Now, Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains, why does the Pasuk say, Lo Darei Seichem for your generations? It implies that they used it twice, in two generations. The Medrash says, in the days of Yirmiyah, it's a Pasuk really, in Yirmiyah, in the time of Yirmiyah, the Jews came to Yirmiyah, and they said, hey, we have nothing to eat. You know, why should we keep mitzvahs? We have to work for a living, we have to work on Shabbos, we have to do all these things. So Yirmiyah took out the man, this thing, a container of man, and he said to them, you see, this is what the Jews survived for 40 years when they listened to God. You listen to God, you'll be okay, just like the man. And the second time they're going to use it, it says, Eliyahu Navi is going to bring the man when Mashiach comes. Huh?
Third time?
No, second time.
Yirmiyah showed it to me second
No, Yirmiyah showed it to him once, and once Eliyahu Navi is going to show him when Mashiach comes.
That was the third time after this generation they had it in the desert.
The first time was in the desert. But then, I'm saying the showing was Yirmiyah once, and Eliyahu Navi is going to show it once.
But did he actually receive it?
No. No.
And the third time is also only showing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be only a showing. So he says, "L'man yiru salachem, that they should see the bread, asher echalti eschem b'midbar, that he gave you to eat in the desert. Beitzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, when I took you out of Mitzrayim." Okay, so Hashem basically says that this, I want everybody to know that this is the man that they ate when they left Mitzrayim. And therefore, like here, Rashi quotes from Yirmiyah, that if the Jews behave, he's going to give them all the food they need. This is what Hashem said to the Jews. So now, how did they carry this out? Said to Aaron, take one jar, and there's an argument, what was the jar made out of? Some people say it was made out of glass, that everybody could see the man. And some people say it was made out of ceramic, earthenware, that it should last for a long time. You know, it's an interesting pasuk. When you bury a Sefer Torah, Taylor says Sefer Torah is not kosher anymore and you have to bury it. It says in the halacha, you have to put it, it's based on a pasuk, you have to put it into an earthenware box. L'man yamdu yomim rabim, that it should stand a long time. Because earthenware containers don't allow the things in it to rot. So you want to preserve the Sefer Torah in the ground for an extended period of time at least, so they bury it in a kli cheres, in an earthenware thing. So some of Hashem learn that the fact that Hashem says it should last a long time, so what type of jar? Because the pasuk just says take a jar, it doesn't say what material. So some people say it means glass because it says to see it. And other people say if it's a long-term thing, it has to be earthenware. No, 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 I'm just to save a potato.
Just
save a potato.
The other stuff can just go bury
at
the...
Yeah,
yeah.
Could do it in your backyard too if you want.
Really?
If you want to dig a hole and bury it, yeah.
What about mezuzah?
No, just to save a tar. Just to save a tar is buried like that. Well, save a tar is much more kedusha than everything else. You know? In fact, the Balaturim says, and the Pasuk Leman, in Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, Leman Yiru Es Halechem. It says, Lam, to take the first word, letters, Leman Yiru Es Halechem, is Aleph Lamed Yud Hei, which refers to Eliyahu. That it's going to last all the way until Eliyahu Navi comes. Because we said it was Yirmiyah and Eliyahu Navi. And put it before Hashem. And where should you put it? The Mishmeres of the Reisechem are watching for all times. Now, where do they put it? In front of the Ark in the Holy of Holies. That's where the Mon was. So the Mon, this container of Mon, they put into the Holy of Holies. And that's what was throughout the duration of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Das Kanim proves, he says, I don't know if it was silver or gold or earthenware. When he says, Sinsenes, it means something which lasts a long time, which means it should be made out of earthenware. So he says, Kayacher Tziva Hashem El Mesha, like Hashem commanded Mesha, Vaynecheo Adam Lefneho Eidos Aaron, put it in front of the Eidos, meaning in front of the tablets, meaning in front of the Ark. The Mishmaris is the safekeeping. Okay. B'nei Yisrael ochlev saman aboim shana. And the Eden ate the man for 40 years. And the Ibn Ezra says, this is the greatest of miracles. All the other miracles Moshe Rabbeinu did didn't last 40 years. Kriyas Yamsev lasted a few minutes. This lasted a few minutes. That lasted a few minutes. The concept of something lasting 40-year miracle is in itself a miracle. Anything that can last 40 years is a miracle. So it lasted for, they ate the man, ad bayam alaris nishavis, until they came to the land of civilization, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Al taman achu, the man they ate, ad bayam until they came, al ksei eretz Canaan, until the boundary of Canaan. That means the man did not go with him into Canaan. And like we learned, the man stopped when Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zion Adar. And it lasted until Tezayin Nisan. That means from the 7th of Adar until the 16th of Nisan, which according to one opinion is a month and a week. Another opinion says 2 months and a week, because it was a leap year. And Moshe Rabbeinu died in the first Adar. So then it was that extended period of time that it lasted, the man lasted until they didn't need it anymore.
And that last man did not come every morning?
No, after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, that was it. There's no more man.
But you say it lasted...
Yeah, that man that fell that day lasted, that was itself a miracle. It lasted that one portion of man. Not only it didn't spoil, but it was a miracle that it lasted mamish until the end, until they didn't need it anymore. That's how long it lasted.
Do we know when it began?
Huh?
Do we know when the first time the man...
It does say all the things of the man, it does.
After Kriyat Yamsuf?
No, well, after Kriyat Yamsuf, yeah. What? I'm listening. Tezayin Nissen. Yes. Oh, here. 16th of Iyar is when the man fell.
It's Pesach Sheni, right?
Tezayin, no, that's Pesach Sheni, Yudalit Iyar. No, this is Tezayin Iyar in the year 2848. 2448, but they came to the town of Alush, that's when the man fell. And it was Sunday. In fact, it's very interesting because he says, the Me'am Lo'yez goes through, I'm not going to go through all the miracles, but there are 25 miracles in the man. He just goes through, it grew in the air, and there's a whole order how it fell, the height of the man, it did, dried up the next day, no matter how much you got, you gathered is what you got. The eighth miracle was that the Shabbos it didn't spoil. It was the food of Malachim. I'm just going through. It was very sweet. It didn't have any waste. Shabbos, the month tasted differently than the rest of the week. Not only fell double, it actually tasted different. You ever eat shalom during the week? Not the same. Oh, there's another interesting miracle of the month. This is the Jews. This is good for the Jews. Together with the month, this is a famous medrash. Together with the man, diamonds and gold jewelry fell together with the man. And the Jews would keep it, of course. What else is new? And they brought, those were what they donated to the Mishkan from the things that fell with the man. And
they had so much diamond and gold already, no?
What?
They already had so much money.
It says, even though they're very rich and all that, and nevertheless, they wanted more. Hashem gave them more. No, it's a whole thing, the way the man fell and... okay. And this lasted... It lasted 40 years and so on. Okay, then it says... okay, now it says Ha'imed. Now it said before that. Yeah. Thank you. It says how much was the Ha'imed? It says each Jew gathered an Ha'imed. That's how much man they got. So the man, the pasuk says it was a tenth of an Eifa. Okay, now Rashi makes a cheshbon. How much is an Eifa? To know how much man the Jews gathered a day. So it says as follows. An Eifa is 3 saw, a saw is 6 kabim. A kab is 4 lugim, and a lug is six beim, six eggs. So a tenth, we don't need the accountants. Rashi did it already. The tenth of, huh?
Thank God.
Thank God. If not, you'd have to get your calculator. So Rashi says, how big is a tenth of an eifa? 43 eggs and a fifth of an egg, which is the shear for challah.
Large, extra large, jumbo, which one?
Jumbos.
43 eggs?
Yeah. Now, speaking modern day terminology in halacha, an egg is 2 ounces. So 43 eggs is 86 ounces. Good. And a fifth of an egg. So it's approximately 86 ounces, which is how many pounds?
5 pounds.
That's why the whole shear, how much dough do you need to separate challah from? So it comes out that approximately that is the amount that you have to separate challah from. So therefore, but it depends how you count the eggs, and there's a whole shaila, the shiurim today are double what they used to be. It's a whole thing in halacha. But just to give an example, that's how much each person gathered the mon per person per day. It's not a lot. 3 pounds of food, let's say. Let's say 5 pounds of food. For 2 meals a day? If they wanted 2 sandwich quarter pounders, no, that's already half.
So half a pound.
I don't know, whatever. This is. Yeah, but the side dishes.
In the desert, you are more hungry.
Moshe Rabbeinu was what, 8, 10 feet high?
No, Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall. Moshe Rabbeinu was 15 feet tall. That the snacks and the lunch and the dinners and the. Huh?
Where does it say he was
15 feet tall? It's a Rashi and Chumash, but it's a Gemara. That's how he killed Eig. He had a stick 10 amos, he jumped 10 amos, and he was 10 amos. Well, 90 feet, 90 amos to 30 amos to his ankles. 45 feet to his ankle. Hello? Yeah, they had their own league called the Giants. The Giants.
Exactly.
The LA Giants.
Where did they come from there? They don't come
from
the Giants. Let's see what that
form of hotel is.
Okay. Those picture of the pyramid that they put Aaron and Moshe in one. Frame looked like a really normal.
What?
The pictures.
Of?
I don't know.
A photo.
Yeah, there's no question they look the same. What? They're brothers. No. Okay, next pasuk. Let's go. Perek Yud Zayin. VeYisu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Mibir Sin LeMaaseihem Al Pi Hashem. All the Jews traveled from Mibar Sin to their journeys Al Pi Hashem. VeYachnu BeFidim and they camped in Refidim. VeYimayim Lishtei Sa'om and there was no water for the people to drink. And guess what happened? They complained. Okay, so basically the Eden traveled from Midbar Sin, which some people say it's Sinai, it's not Sinai, whatever. But they traveled and they came Al Pi Hashem, Vayachna Befidim, they camped in Refidim. Now the Medrash says, why was it called Refidim? Because Sherafu Yedehem Midivre Torah. They started becoming weak from Torah. They started already giving up mitzvahs. And that's why it says, Vein mayim lishtei sa'am, there was no Torah. This is the way the Aruch Chaim learns. That they came to the Fidim, which means they were weak from learning Torah, and there was no mayim, meaning there was no teira for the people to drink. And once there's no teira, people start complaining. No, from they weakened themselves from mitzvahs. And because they weakened themselves from mitzvahs, that's why they, Hashem took away the water. Because water symbolizes Torah. So then people started fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, "Tnu lanu mayim v'nishta. Give us water to drink. We need something to drink." Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, "Matri v'nimodi. Why are you fighting with me? Matanasanas Hashem, why are you testing Hashem to see if he can give you water?" In other words, why are you starting up with Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu told them, don't start up with Hashem again. Vayitzma shama am lamayim, and the nation became very thirsty for water. And the Mefarshim explained that there was water for the animals. And that's why it says, Vayitzma Sham Ha'am, the nation became thirsty. Now there's another interesting thing over here, because, and surprisingly he doesn't say it here, but the Klei Yakar, at the beginning of Bishalach, goes with a theory, so to speak, that when it says in the Chumash, the word Ha'am, it means the Erev Rav. Otherwise it says B'nai Yisrael. If you see in the Pasuk, it says, Vayisu Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael, Pasuk Aleph. Okay? The B'nai Yisrael traveled. Doesn't say Ha'am traveled. The Pasuk said the B'nai Yisrael traveled. Before also, in Pasuk Lamed Hei, U'B'nai Yisrael Achlu Asaman. When he speaks about the Jews, he calls them B'nai Yisrael. Sometimes, you find by the problems, it says the word Ha'am. Even what we learned today. If you go back to Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says on the seventh day, Yatzum Min Ha'am Lilkeit. It doesn't say Yatzum Ibn Yisrael Lilkeit. It doesn't say the Jews went out to gather. It says the nation went out to gather. Who's complaining here in Pasuk Beis? Vayarev Ha'am Imesha. The Klei Yakar goes with the concept that when it says Ha'am, it's not the Jewish people. It's the Eid of Rav, the tag-alongs, the tagged along, the Egyptians, the tagged along. They were the ones that made the eagle. They were the ones that complained. They were the ones that were the troublemakers. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's fault, because Hashem told him not to take him out. Yeah, and Moshe Rabbeinu was such a nice guy, he said, these people want to be Jewish. They want to be Jewish. They want to recognize the greatness of God. Let's take them along. Why should we deprive them? And Hashem said to them, you're only going to have problems from them.
There were a lot of them?
Yeah. There was a lot of people.
We also know that Dathan and Abiram were Jewish, and they were complaining the whole time.
Who?
Awesome.
Yeah, but there were, how many Jews could, two
they
Jews?
Were secularized.
Yeah, they joined the Eid of Rav. Mm-hmm. Listen, they had a personal grudge against Moshe Rabbeinu from day one. The Jews fighting, the Moshe said, Rasha, why are you hitting your friend? Who were they? It was Dasan Aviram. So they had a personal vendetta against Moshe Rabbeinu from the first day, so to speak. So of course they were the troublemakers.
No, I'm just making a point that it could be also Jewish making problems.
I understand, but I'm saying it's interesting to, if you look in the wording of the Chumash though, the Pasuk sometimes using B'nai Yisrael, sometimes he's using the word Ha'am, and it's different things. So obviously there's a reason why the Torah is doing it. So the Klei Yakar explains that when it says Ha'am, it's referring to the Eid of Rav rather than the actual nation itself. And it says, "Vayitzma sham ha'am l'mayim." They became very thirsty. "Vayalin ha'am al Moshe," and they started complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, "Vayemel le'elam ezeli sonim mitzrayim. Why are you taking us out of Egypt? Lahamis aisi v'zbanai v'smiknei batzama, that you're going to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst." Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Medrash says, the Jews at this time still had water. They had water, but it was finishing. So they already were complaining, not about what was, that they were already without water. They complained even while they still had water, what's going to be. And that's why Hashem got angry at them. If they had no water, which is a necessity, and they said, you know, and also, it's not only what they did, but the way they did it. They could have said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the story? You know, can you ask Hashem to please give us water, whatever. Instead, they started complaining. They started complaining. So Hashem got angry. What are you complaining about? And why are you testing Hashem? So he says, Vayitzek Moshe Hashem Lemer. Moshe Rabbeinu also couldn't take it anymore. And he said, what can I do to this nation? Ein ma'atis koloni. If I wait a little bit more, they're going to stone me. You know, the Jews were getting angry and aggressive and violent. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, God, what do you want from me? What? Look what we do to our own God. The Or HaChaim asks over here a fundamental question, and he says, why Taka did God do this to them? The bottom line of it is God gave him water. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, there was water, and this is the first time when he was told to hit the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, hit the rock, and they got water, yeah? So why did Hashem, Or HaChaim asks, why in the world did Hashem do this? To make them problems, that they should start fighting, and then give them the water anyway. Why didn't just, if he's planning to give them the water, just give them the water to begin with? Huh? No. Hashem wants a Jew to realize and to recognize that the needs come from Hashem. And therefore Hashem wanted that the Jews should daven. Instead, they complained. In other words, if the Jews would have davened to Hashem, that would have been great. That's the mitzvah of davening. The biblical mitzvah of davening is if you have a need, you have to daven to Hashem. So Hashem did it that the Jews should daven. In fact, Or HaChaim says, why taka did Hashem bring them on every day? Why couldn't Hashem bring them on once a week, once a month? I mean, it lasted anyway, we see, long times, yeah? Hashem could have made the month full every Rosh Chodesh, so the good could have gotten a month's supply of man, and Hashem could have made that the month shouldn't spoil, and that's it, and it's, you know, minimize the miracle. So he explains, because Hashem wants that people should daven to Hashem and make them aware of it. We mentioned in the past, the Medrash says a very strange statement. Avram didn't have children for a long time with Sarah. Yitzchok didn't have children with Rivka. Yaakov didn't have children with Rachel for a long time. Why in the world did God make such tzaddikim suffer? So the Medrash says, Hashem loves when tzaddikim daven. And if He loves when tzaddikim daven, God does things to make them daven. He enjoys when people daven. Davening is, like he calls it, the fundamental ikar gadol behemuna, and the completeness of the soul is that a person should daven. And he said that's why Hashem gave him the man every day. He wanted the Jew every day to daven to Hashem to give us the food. The Gemara says there was one rabbi in the Gemara when the food was already, when breakfast was being served, he davened to Hashem that He should give him food to eat. So they asked, the food is on the table already. What are you davening about? It's here.
For the next meal.
No. He wanted to show that this meal is coming from Hashem. The davening for this meal, even though it came already, he wanted to show and recognize and have the recognition of the fact that this food that came now on the table, this came from Hashem. This is what Hashem wanted.
Rabbi,
yes, sir.
Is it possible that this is something hidden in which that the water is really, like the people really wanted Moshe to teach them Torah, which is significant of the water?
That is in the spiritual sense, for sure.
And when he hit the rock, meaning it's really like he was praying to Hashem to reveal more Torah to them, and that's what they were thirsty for?
That's if you want to learn it in a spiritual way, in a positive way. The Jews said we want Torah, and therefore, you know, give us Torah. But the problem is that Hashem wouldn't have got angry at them.
Hashem doesn't make a difference between Erev Rav and the Jews.
They all became one big challenge.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, but they were like all new. They didn't have the Jewish soul coming from Jacob and going down from. I mean, it's normal that newcomers can see things differently than Jews. If the Jews didn't complain, they were praying God and they were accepting everything, why the punishment has also still to go on the Jews?
Because the Jews are responsible for everybody else.
Yeah, are we making difference between them?
No, just saying that they were the ones that complained.
The Jews didn't complain?
We just said we call them Am and we call them Israel.
What?
Jews didn't complain at the same time?
No. According to the Klal Yoker, that means the Erev Rav. And also, here, what did they say to Moshe? Tunu lanu mayim v'nishta. In Pasuk Beis, right? They started fighting. Vayarev means not only they complained, Vayarev is actually fighting. Right? They were fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tunu lanu mayim. Now think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu can give water. The Jews should have said, go daven to Hashem to give us water. What did they say? Meisha, give us water. So Meisha Ben said, like, what do you want from me? I can give you water. What do you want from me? And that's the whole aved over here, that they didn't do it the right way. If they would have gone to Meisha Rabbeinu, and they would have said, Meisha Rabbeinu, please pray to Hashem to get us water, Hashem wouldn't have been upset with them. This is one of the 10 times that the Jews tested God in the desert, which is held as a negative thing against them. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you know what, if you don't do something, they're going to kill me pretty soon. So Hashem said to Moshe, you're telling me they're going to stone you. Hashem says, you know what, walk in front of the nation and you'll see if they'll stone you. This is what Rashi says. You know what, Moshe, it's so funny this. You know what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are you speaking Lashon Hara against the Jews? You're telling me they're going to stone me. They're going to stone me. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yeah. Hashem says, why are you speaking Lashon Hara? Go walk in front of them and see if they're going to stone you. Rashi says, Lamai Tzeisa Laza Banai. Why are you speaking bad against the Jews? Can you picture what's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu Nebuch is up to here already. You know, they want to, trust me, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make up a Baba Maisa that they want to stone me. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu had it. Hashem says to him, you're still speaking bad against my children. Which is remarkable, because Hashem says to a Jewish leader, as bad as they are, keep on trucking. They don't see you, you're speaking Lashon Hara, they're not going to. And then he says like this, V'kach itcha mizikna Yisrael, take with you some elders. Why? Why did Hashem tell him to take elders? He wanted witnesses that Moshe Rabbeinu is getting the water from a rock. Now, normally rocks don't produce water. This miracle, Hashem wanted that the witnesses should see that it has happened. Umatcha she'akisa be'asa ye'ed, and the stick that you hit the Nile with and did all the other plagues, kach biyotcha, take in your hand, v'alochta, and go. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, why does Hashem say, which stick? We know which stick Moshe Rabbeinu had. Why does it say Hashem told him to take the stick that he hit the Nile with and did all the plagues? Because the Jews kept saying that Moshe Rabbeinu's staff only was a bad staff. It did all the plagues in Egypt was with the staff. So the Jews said, this staff is only good for bad. So Hashem said to them, I'm going to show you that the stick is also good. Meaning, it's not the stick. It's Hashem who's, so to speak, behind the stick. And he's the one that can do good and good do both. V'kisa, I'm sorry, Yini Eimed Lefanach Hashem Al Atzur. Hashem says, I'm going to be standing before you by the rock. V'kisa Batzur, you should hit into the rock. And Rashi says it doesn't say on the rock, it says into the rock. Which means that the Mata was Santurian, that was so strong, it was able to open the rock. It was able to crack the rock, because Hashem said to him, hit into the rock. Not hit on top of the rock.
And then he punishes.
No. No, this is... Later. You're going 40 years ahead. You're jumping the gun. Twice. No, yeah. 40 years later for the same story. Here Hashem said to him, hit the rock. Which he did. 40 years later, when Miriam died, 40 years later, also no water. Over there Hashem said to him, speak to the rock. And over there he also hit the rock. That was the wrong thing. But now, Hashem... No. Hashem just twice. The first time Hashem said to him, hit the rock, which he did, and the water came out.
Was it okay for them to... I don't really understand, because we're not supposed to rely on miracles. Was that generation supposed to rely on miracles?
No.
Water in the desert, it's pretty tough to get water. So why would Hashem be upset that they complained? Even if they davened, they're davening for a miracle.
If a father takes his kid on a trip...
Yeah?
Is the father supposed to provide food for the kid on the trip?
Yes.
Hashem is taking his kids on a outing. On an outing. Pretty long one, but he's taking him on an outing. He's supposed to provide food.
Yes.
He's supposed to bring along food.
Yes.
Okay. The only problem over here was that the Jews didn't daven like a mensch. That's the only problem. They complained. And they screamed and yelled, look how bad you are, what are you killing us? And you're dying, you know, making us die. If Hashem wanted, I mean, the Jews would have prayed like a man, it would have happened. Hashem is obligated, according to halacha, to take care of the needs of the Jews.
Hashem has a bracha also?
Sure, Hashem keeps the Torah.
No, but I thought until certain...
The Gemara says,
until you're
the kids say it in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, Kol mashu acherim la'aseis hu eisa. Whatever God commands us to do, He does. Mm-hmm. We say, Magid dvarav chukov u'mishpatov. His mitzvahs that He does, the Gemara says, God puts on tefillin, obviously not black boxes like we do, but Hashem puts on tefillin and Hashem does everything what we do.
I didn't know that.
So if... Well, that's why you come to the class.
Mm-hmm. How does Hashem honor His father and mother?
Means symbolic tefillin. The Rebbe, hour that we are doing, that the men are doing tefillin, he's done.
You know what? There's an interesting Gemara to answer your question. How does Hashem honor His parents?
Mm-hmm. Well, what was his question?
His question is, how does God honor His parents?
That's very good.
Huh?
Do you have an answer to that?
Do I have an answer for it? Yeah. You want to hear?
Yeah.
Okay, you listen.
I never heard anybody ask that question. How did God answer His parents?
Not honor, answer, honor.
Honor His parents.
Oh, when God's parents said, God, come, He said, yeah, I'm coming.
He said, what?
There's a Gemara that the Epicurus asked, Rabbi Kiva, I don't remember who it was. If God is a Kohen, how did He bury Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara answers, so he answered him, because God, the Jews are God's children, and a Kohen could become Tamei for his kids. Nice answer. So the Rebbe asks, but Hashem is a Kohen Gadol, and a Kohen Gadol can't become impure for his kids. Right? So how did Hashem bury Moshe Rabbeinu? So basically, the gist of what the Rebbe explains in the Sikha is that the concept of Kohuna, the way we have it, is different than the concept of Kohuna by Hashem. Understand? Because it's a completely different level. It's not a tangible level of Tum and Tar, of tangible Kohuna. There is a level of Ava, Aim, Chochm, and Bina. I mean, there are a lot of ways, but obviously, does God keep Shabbos? Yeah? Are you allowed to kill people on Shabbos?
He watered the lawn on Shabbos.
Are you allowed to water your lawn on Shabbos?
He rested. We don't know how he keeps
I'm asking you a question, though. The God doesn't work on Shabbos.
Yes, probably.
He has a guy working for him. He sold the business to the guy. To be continued next week.